Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter number 33. Isaiah chapter 33. I'm going to call the sermon this morning, Wasted Highways. Wasted Highways. Isaiah chapter 33. And if you would stand with me, please. Isaiah chapter 33. Stand, if you will, for the reading of the Word of God. Hand it, look back at me for just a second before I read the text verse. When I was looking through the Bible, I noticed that God used the word waste. And He used it about a handful of things. In Isaiah chapter 23, verse number 14, He talked about people that wasted their strength. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse number 33, He talked about cities that had been wasted. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 6, He talked about certain streets in a city that had gone they were wasted. In Job 38, verse 27, He talked about a piece of ground that had been wasted. In Malachi chapter 1, verse number 3, He talked about an heritage that had been wasted. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 17, He talked about certain places that were wasted. And then Isaiah 37, 18, He talked about a whole nation that had wasted away. I'm going to call the sermon today, Wasted Highways. Isaiah chapter number 33, I want you to look at verse number 6. And the Bible says this, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regarded no man." You see in verse number 8, the title of this morning's sermon, "The Highways Lie Waste." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. I really do believe you will help us with the sermon today. Someone came to church not even realizing that the sermon would help them like it's going to. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would help us all to be attentive. Help the interruptions to be minimized. And I pray, God, that we would concentrate for this short time on the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I did not come today to just get this over with. I came today to meet with you. And I pray in the next few minutes we will do that exact thing. A group of people will know that they have met with God. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you notice there in verse number 8, it mentioned a highway. I want you to think about something. They build highways today, but all the equipment and all the modern technology that they have to get it done. Now, here, if there was a highway in the Old Testament in the Bible, I have to tell you, that was a challenge. The building of a highway in that day must have been a very heavy, heavy responsibility. Someone had built that highway, a major difficulty, an uphill challenge, a burdensome type of a thing. They didn't have power tools. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have a jackhammer to help them through the rocks that would be in the road. They didn't go down to the lumber company. They didn't have a Lowe's that they could call upon. They didn't have an asphalt company where they could make a telephone call and say, "Bring me a load." They didn't have a union representative that was going to help make sure everything went well for the employees of the day. There was no big crane to help move a big piece of steel. There were no forklifts to be driven. There were no air conditioning cabs for the truck driver, not at all. No bulldozers, no bobcats, no trucks that could haul in gravel. Just struggle and hard work, challenge. And what a struggle it would have been. What a challenge it would have been. Oh, I think a good burden. They were building something that would be useful. It had a purpose, but a burden. I'm sure there were injuries on the job. I'm sure that there were, at some point, if this was a great big highway, at some point maybe someone had worked at it for months, and sometimes it takes them years and years and years to get a highway built. Maybe somebody had a heart attack. Maybe there were broken bones. There were injuries. I'm sure there were cuts. and stitches and bruises and broken equipment and bad weather and challenge after challenge after challenge. Then there was the financial cost, the cost of the equipment, the cost of the supplies. Then there's the people stress. You've got leadership, you've got fellowship, and all that goes into it. But I think the thing about the whole story that gets to me, in Isaiah 33, verse number 8, they went through all of that to build a highway. Then it says, it was let go to waste. What a misappropriation of money. What a misappropriation of pain. What a misappropriation of struggle and hardship to go through all that and then turn around and allow it to become unstable, unproductive, unuseful, to the point where it says the highway was wasted. Wasted. That was a heavy burden. I imagine when the men came home from work on that highway, they were tired. They were very tired. And they weren't working 6 hours a day. I'll guarantee you they were working sun up to sun down, and it was a heavy burden, and it was a heavy challenge, and it was a big deal. It was a very heavy burden for them to carry. But now we find out, after all of that, that is going to waste. I wonder how many times Christians go through heavy things in life, and then they waste their experience. I wonder how many times Christians go through difficulties, challenges, and then they waste the burden that they went through. You know, you go through a hardship. I promise you, that hardship was not given to you by God for you to turn around after you make it through and then waste the rest of your life, waste away what could have come as a result of that challenge. You know, our burdens were not given to us to destroy us, but they were given to us to make us stronger. When you go through a lot, can I recommend once you go through it that you make good of the rest of your life? Could I recommend if you face burdens and if you face heartaches, if you go through difficult things, if you feel like, well, I'll tell you what, like building a highway, you talk about broken bones and bruises and emotional trauma and all the things that you go through. Look, folks, may I say to somebody in here, you went through too much to turn back now. You've been through too much to throw in the towel and just let the burden that you face, don't let it go to waste. That's what happened with this highway. I mean, they had worked and carried a burden, and now they're going to let it waste. I'm going to tell you something, how I feel about America. America, wake up. We paid too much of a price to be one nation under God and to become the nation we were supposed to become. Let's not forget the men and the women that gave their lives in generations gone by to make our country great. Hey, let's not waste the heartache that has been invested to make our country great. We've been through too much to turn back now. Let me tell you something about the burdens of life. God will never place a burden on you that is more than you can bear. God is always good. God is always fair. Now, you're going to face some burdens. Everybody is. You young people, you sit here and life is pretty smooth for you right now, and you might feel like, I'm not facing, preacher, you talk about heartaches and burdens and tragedies. I'm not really facing that. And that's because mom and dad pay the bills, and mom and dad put the food on the table, and mom and dad attend to the heartaches and the heaviness of life. But every young person under the sound of my voice, your day will come and you will face burdens just like the rest of us. And they're not always real easy to bear. They're not always real easy to handle, and they become heavy. But may I say, God is always good and God is always fair, and God will never place a burden on you that is more than what you can bear. And there have been times I've said to myself, now, Lord, you promised you wouldn't give me more than I could bear, but we've got to be on the precipice of destruction here. We've got to be real close to maxing me out right now, because I'm not sure I can handle this. But God has never let me down. He has never put more on me that I could bear. By the way, if I didn't bear it, wasn't His fault. It was my fault for not using the energy that He had made available to me so that I could bear it. Burdens and heartaches come on us all, folks. They come on us for a variety of reasons. Sometimes a burden may come upon you to bring glory to God. He has that right. You may face something, you might say, "Preacher, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. I'm facing a burden, I'm facing a heartache. Why is this here?" I might not be able to give you that answer. It may just be that somehow God is going to get glory out of that, and we by faith just need to trust God. Sometimes burdens come upon us, and God wants to use the burden that's on you maybe to help somebody else. You say, "I don't see how that's possible." But God does. God knows what He's doing. You may face a burden, and that burden may be that there's somebody else that will be helped by watching how you handle your burden. Sometimes burdens come upon us to strengthen us. You got to understand, if you want to get strong, you must exercise and you lift the burdens of life. Physically, you want to get strong, you lift things, it makes you strong. Emotionally, you want to get strong, you lift the emotional burdens, you work out, and you get strong because of them. Maybe you have a burden in your life right now, and it is there to strengthen you. Sometimes I think God brings burdens in our lives and allows them, and it's God's way of Him proving His promises to us. God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Listen, if you don't go through hardship, you never get to test that thing, see if God will ever leave you. And may I testify, He has never left me, He has never forsaken me. All the burdens that I've ever carried, God always stuck with me all the way through. Sometimes burdens come in our life to teach us. Sometimes God has a purpose, and I have to tell you this, folks. God owes nobody an explanation. You say, "I'm facing something, it makes no sense." I wish it could make sense to you, but please let me represent God for a moment. If something's going on in your life and you don't understand it, trust God, because God owes no one any explanation. You say, "Why?" He's God. He is God. Accept that God has a purpose, but there's one thing I can tell you. As a pastor, if I could, and by the way, as one human being to another human being, I want to tell you this. If we're going to have burdens and we're going to go through trials and hardships and heartaches, let's make sure we don't waste them. I think about them building this highway, and they went through the struggle and the burden of building a highway, and you find out you get on the other end of the finishing of the highway, and they said, and then it just was wasted. Now, folks, you and I go through the hardships of life. Let's not go through the trials of life. Let's not go through the hardships of life and get on the other side and then waste that very thing that we just successfully made it through. You say, "What are you talking about?" Let me give you some for instances. Hey, don't waste the burden of a loved one that has died without Christ. Don't waste that. You do all understand there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. Saved people go to heaven. If you're not saved, you don't get to go to heaven. When you die, you go to hell. I'm not saying that to be mean to you. I'm saying that because it's the gospel truth. There are people that die unsaved. That means if they die without Christ, they go to hell. Do you know of someone that you loved and they died without Christ? What a burden. What a heartache. The thought that someone that we love has passed away and they did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I don't know who's in hell today, and you don't know for sure who's in hell today, but we do know there are people there. There are people that did not get saved and they closed their eyes in death and they went to hell. But let me tell you something. If you bear in your heart a heartache and you say, you know, maybe if a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or a friend or a grandparent, you say, from all I can tell, Brother Owens, they did not get saved and they died and they went to hell. That's a heavy burden for someone to bear. That's a heavy thing for someone to think about. But could I recommend something to you? If your heart is heavy because someone that you love possibly died and went to hell, don't you waste that burden. You say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? There's nothing you can do about the one that died and went to hell, but there's something you can do about everybody else. And if you say, I have a heartache, boy, I think one of my kids might have died and gone to hell, or I think that one of my parents might have died and gone to hell, and I wonder if my grandfather didn't die and go to hell. I can't change that, and neither can you, but I can tell you this, we ought not waste that heartache. If you are really heartbroken over someone that you love dying and going to hell, don't waste the burden. Hey, go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell your other child. Go tell your uncle. Go tell your grandma. Go tell everybody else how to be saved. Don't waste the burden that came upon you. They built a highway and went through struggle and pain and suffered and sacrificed and got on the other end of it and then turn around and wasted the pain that they had faced. I say to you, if you know someone that's died and go to hell and that has been a heavy burden on your heart, don't you waste that burden. Let the pain motivate you to tell others about Jesus so they don't die and go to hell. Let me say secondly, don't waste your burden of the death of a child. The death of a child. What a great heartache. When a parent outlives a child, what a heavy burden. What a deep pain. Listen, don't waste that burden. Don't waste that pain. Say, Pastor, I had a child that passed and that child is now gone. And it weighs heavy on me. Well, I would understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't waste that pain. Don't waste that burden. You say, well, what do I do? Make sure you love your living children. You make sure that look. I know people that have lost a child and they suffer great remorse over having lost a child. But you know what? They have another living child, and they need to reconcile with that living child, but they're not doing it. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've lost a child and they're gone forever, you better sink your heart into loving the children that you still have. Don't waste the burden and the heartache. Hey, when God gives us a heartache, He allows it to get something out of us and get something out of it. Don't waste that burden. Hey, teach others to love their kids. Look, if you have a child that's passed away and prematurely, God didn't allow you to go through that to make you bitter and angry. God allowed you to go through that to make you better. And there's somebody you can help and somebody you can encourage. And the other living children, you ought to love them and care for them and watch out for them. You know, the Bible says, it tells the story of David in the Old Testament. He lost a child. And he said, you know, my child won't be coming to me. I'll be going to my child someday. But I want everybody here to realize when you go through a heartache, don't waste the heartache. Man, if you have a loved one that passed and you don't think they were saved, you ought to let that motivate you to get everybody else saved. If you have a child that passed prematurely and you say, boy, that breaks my heart. Okay, let that broken heart motivate you to love your kids that are living. Help other people to love their kids. Don't waste the heartache that you faced. Let me say this. If you face the burden of being forsaken by your family, don't waste that burden. Boy, oh, the pain or the hurt, the embarrassment, the humiliation, the loneliness, the fear, when family forsake you and turn their back on you. You know, we live in a sad day. We ought to love one another. That's what family does. We're supposed to love one another, encourage one another, and help one another. But boy, family members just turn, walk away from you. Family members are turned their back on you. Listen, you say, I face that pain. I face the pain of having a family member that's forsaken me. I face the pain of a family member that's just turned their back on me or they become cold toward me. Hey, don't waste that pain. Don't waste that pain. Don't become bitter because of that pain. Become a better Christian because of that pain. Hey, become a better man because of that pain. Become a better woman because of that pain. Encourage others to love their families and do right. Folks, when pain comes upon us, if you want, you can let it destroy you. If you want, you can let it make you worse. If you want, you can let it make your life miserable. Or you can turn the tables and say, you know something? I just went through a pain. I'm not going to let that pain destroy me. I'll become better because of that pain. I think we're supposed to do that. When people pass and they're unsaved, I think we ought to try our best to get something good out of that. And I think if a child were to precede us in death, we better figure out a way to help it motivate us and to do good because of it. I think if we're forsaken by family, I don't think we ought to let that destroy us. Hey, look, people that are forsaken by family, don't you turn around and forsake others. Grow from it. Become better because of it. But not only that, I would recommend to you that you don't waste the burden of a terrible illness or a sickness that you've been through. There are people under the sound of my voice. You were not well. You thought you would die. You wondered if because of the diagnosis that you, if your life might be over. But you know, God spared you. There are people that had cancer. But you're still alive. You had an infection, and everybody wondered if you were going to make it. You had a disease that could have taken your life. Let me tell you, if you were sick and you had an illness and you lived through it, don't waste that burden. Don't waste that. I think there are people here when you were sick. Maybe you promised God and you said, God, if you spare me, I'll serve you and I'll be faithful to you. Are you keeping your promise? Are you serving Him? Are you doing what you said? Look, if you survived a terrible illness, if you survived a stroke, if you survived a heart attack, if you survived some tragic illness, hey, don't let that thing stop you. Decide, look, I'm not going to waste that burden. Don't let your victory over a disease stop there. Let it motivate you. Hey, it ought to be some of you that spent long term in the hospital and you wondered if you're going to live. You ought to be doing some hospital visitation every once in a while. And taking that burden that you faced and that you had victory with and then helping other sick people. Help them to keep their chin up. Help them to believe that God can heal. Help them to believe that God can still work in their life. Folks, why would we want to go through the heavy heartaches of life, get on the other end, and like that highway, just waste that? That ought to catapult us to something greater. It ought to motivate us to do something wonderful. God spared you for a reason. You think God just spared you because He needed someone to spare? No, I think God spared you. I think God salvaged you. I think God brought you through because, believe it or not, I think He wanted to get something out of it. I think God deserves, look, if God brought you through a hardship, God deserves glory and God deserves honor and God deserves to be praised and God deserves that you serve Him. God didn't bring you through it just so you could have a pleasant life and ignore Him the rest of your life. There are people in this room, God pulled your sin-sick soul out of such a mess and God has done some wonderful things for you and you sat back on your rocking chair and do nothing. Now that God has saved you and all you do is suck up all the grace and the kindness and the love of God and you do nothing for God. God deserves better than that. If God pulled you out, you ought to turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to serve the God that salvaged me. I'll serve the God that kept me alive. I'll serve Him. I'll not let that negative destroy me. Don't waste the burden of a lost one in hell. Don't waste the burden of the death of a child. Don't waste the burden of being forsaken by family. Don't waste the burden of a terrible sickness. Hey, don't waste the burden of a financial collapse. Oh boy, what the pain when the loss of a job, especially when it's sudden, unexpected. I went into a shop one time and I was going in to go to work as usual and they just called a meeting and said, you know, you got 2 days of employment, we're shutting the whole thing down. I thought, good gravy, did not see that coming. What a burden, what a shock. It happens that way sometimes. Boy, you face a burden or a financial collapse, the hurt of a huge financial setback. Did the business crash? Did you make a big mistake? Did an emergency ruin you financially? Or did you just do something stupid with your money? Well, let me tell you something.
Learn from it. Learn from it. Don't repeat it. Look, if God brought you through, you better make sure from here on out that you use what you learned and that you become better because of what you went through. They build a highway and they put everything they did into that highway. They got on the other end and then the highway got wasted. God never intended for that to be the case. God never intended for them to go through that hardship, get on the other end, and then waste everything that they've gone through. Some of you, I want you to think about some of the emotional trauma you've been through. I want you to think about some of the junk that you've been through in life and that you put up with. Now what you do, don't you let the devil get you down. Don't you let the devil defeat you. Stand up there on your feet. You look at the devil and you say, you listen to me. I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep on moving and you're not going to stop me. I may have gone through a burden, but I'm not down. You might have knocked me down, but you did not knock me out. I'm up and I'm going to serve God. That's what some of you need to do. Don't waste what you've been through. Let it make you, not break you. Let it lift you up, not knock you down. Become something because of it. Don't become a casualty. Hey, don't waste that financial burden. Learn from it. Don't repeat it. Thank God for what you have now. Rebuild your life. Don't waste the burden. Don't waste the burden. Boy, when I was studying, there were cities that were built and then wasted. There were streets that were built and then wasted. There were places and nations. There were heritages that were built and then wasted. Folks, don't waste your burden. Don't waste the hardship. Don't waste that financial dilemma that you made it through. Don't waste a terrible sickness. Don't waste the forsaken pain of family forsaking you. Don't waste the burden of the death of a child or a loved one dying without Christ. Make something good out of that. Take that burden and say, I'm going to get something out of this. God's going to get something out of this. I'm going to become better because of it, not worse. Hey, don't waste the burden of a tough upbringing. Not everybody under the sound of my voice had a Christian mom growing up. Not everybody under the sound of my voice had a Christian dad growing up. Not everybody under the sound of my voice got to go to a Christian school. Not everybody here grew up and had a Sunday school teacher that loved them, that taught them the Bible and visited their home. Not everybody here grew up, we have a youth department, and Brother Elswick, Mrs. Elswick do a fantastic job, activities and fun and a protected environment. Hey, not everybody here grew up that way. Matter of fact, there are a bunch of people in here. Your youth, your childhood bring back some pretty crummy memories. Hate, violence, abuse, booze, the drugs, the immorality. You say, preacher, coming up was tough. It was hard. I see some of these little kids are bebopping around here, and I look and I think, boy, to have grown up that way. I mean, we got kids around here getting saved at 4 and 5 years of age. Yet there are people in here that say, I did not grow up that way. I did not have all of those protections in my life. Let me tell you something. Don't waste the burden of your tough upbringing. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, you evidently made it through it. Don't waste the rest of your life. Go make something of yourself. Get your life straightened up and decide someday you're going to be a bus worker and decide someday that you go out and help us reach some kids that are going through the very same thing. And there's just something about watching somebody go through something and you've been through it and you're able to say, you know what, I've been where you're at. You can do this. You can do this. You can succeed. You can serve God. You know, we need some Sunday school teachers around here. Hey, and you say, well, Pastor, I'm not grown up in the church all my life. And you know, I'm not as clean as a hound's tooth. I got skeletons in my closet, things I'm ashamed of from back before I was saved. And I want you all to know something. God can use anybody to teach the Bible. There are some of you, you've been through some pretty tough times growing up, but God wants to use you to stand up in front of some little Sunday school class full of boys and girls and say, you can do this, you can make it, you can take it. Mama may not come to church and Daddy may not come to church and there might be violence and nasty stuff going on at your house, but you can live for Jesus and you can grow up and you can be somebody someday and you can change somebody else's life. Hey, I'll tell you something. When you hear that from somebody that's been through it, it sure encourages you. I mean, whatever you do, don't be going around licking your wounds for the rest of your life. You say, preacher, I did not come up in the right kind of a home. Okay, that's behind us. Decide from here on out, you're going to be a good Christian and you're going to help other people and you're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. God does not want you spending the rest of your life seeking pity because of your upbringing. He wants you seeking to be used because of your upbringing. Look, God doesn't want you to waste what you've been through. Use that as a springboard. Use it as a motivator. Use it to change your life and the lives of other people. They built a highway. And they put all that they put, they went through all the pain and suffering to build it. They got it done, made it through, and then let it go to waste. And then we as Christians, we'll do the same thing. We'll go through the hardships of life. We'll go through burdens. We'll get on the other end of the burden. And then God gets nothing out of it. We're no better because of it. What is it? Wasting our own burden? Wasting the highways of life. Hey, don't waste the burden of that catastrophe that came in your life. Did you take a big hit somewhere along the way? Maybe I've not articulated your heartache, your burden, your hardship. But you got hit with something pretty heavy, pretty big. I've not mentioned it. Think back. What was it? What hit you? What happened to you? What burden came upon you? It could have destroyed you. I don't know. Was it your anger that brought it on? Was it your misbehavior? What was it? Well, let me tell you something. Whatever the big hit was that you've taken in life, don't let it destroy you. Don't make it through and then turn around and waste what you could have gotten out of it. Don't waste your burden. Let your past heartaches, let your burdens produce something in your life. Let them pull something good out of you. Don't let them bury you. Let them make you into something better. Whatever the catastrophe, I didn't have to mention it. Maybe it wasn't the death of a child. Maybe it's not a loved one that passed and they were unsaved and went to hell. Maybe it wasn't a financial catastrophe. Maybe yours was very unique. But something come upon you. It was a burden. It almost destroyed you. But you made it through. And so you all know, in most every case in this house, you made it through. You say, well, I'm in the midst of my burden right now. Well, you will make it through and you'll need to remember this sermon. But most of you, you made it through. But what came of it? What's God getting out of it? What are you really getting out of it? Don't waste it. Don't waste that burden. Hey, don't waste the burden of your years away from God. There are people in here. You, at some point in your life, you got backslidden. You got away from God. But you're back now. You're back in church like you ought to be. If I were you, I would not waste the burden of those years that you were away. Yeah, there are people in here. You were not faithful to church. You were not faithful to God. You were saved. Maybe you're saved as a kid. But you got away from church and got away from God, wasn't living for God. But now you're back. Let me tell you something. Don't you waste those years. Look, the days that you were away, the weeks you were away, the years you were away, those are burdensome years. Those are not good years. You don't have great, great memories of God working in your life through those years. But don't waste that. Look back at that and say, you know something? I'm not going back there. By God's grace, we're going forward, and I'm going to grow. Hey, there are parents in here. I beg of you, don't go back to your old life. You've got little boys and girls and children that you love, and they need to see mom and dad be successful. If you don't care about you, care about your kids. And decide, I'm not going to let. I was away from God, and I messed up part of my life, but from here on out, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to learn from those heartaches. I'm going to grow because of those heartaches. Listen, there are people here, you didn't get saved until later on in life. Like I told you earlier, we've got kids around here, they understand the gospel at age 4 and age 5, and they're getting saved. Whew. For some of you, you'd say, preacher, I would have loved to have been saved when I was 4. Yeah. The mess that I created in my life, for all those years that I was unsaved. Oh, it would have changed. Yes, it would have. But you know something? There's nothing we can do about those years before we got saved, but there's something we can do from here on out. Boy, let's not waste that. If you have ever been backslidden, but you're back right with God, don't waste that. Let it train you. Let it teach you. Stay, run from being backslidden. Run from getting out of church. And those of you, you've gotten saved. And listen, you say, well, preacher, I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I just got saved. Let me tell you something. Stop worrying about the past. Get your eyes on the future. And just serve God with every day and every week and every year you have from here on out. Don't waste the burden of all those lost years. God wants to get something out of that. Hey, could I recommend something to you? Don't waste the burden that comes when you get chastised by God. Kind of an unpopular teaching, but it's still in the Bible. You know, if you're one of God's kids and you're saved, then you can get a spanking from God. Matter of fact, it's an honor because God spanks His kids. It's ownership, if you will. You know, we use the term chastisement. God chastises His kids. I think there are people under the sound of my voice. You got contrary with God. And God spanked you. And by the way, if He spanked you, it's because He loved you. But He spanked you. Could I recommend something? If God has whipped you, you made it through it. There were times, you know, I remember my dad saying, son, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. And I would always debate that. Always. I said, well, wait a minute here, Dad. I'm not real sure you know what you're talking about. If so, let's trade places. Why would I want to put you through all this pain? You know, if your Heavenly Father has ever spanked you, don't waste that. There's somebody in here, and I don't think I'm to pass judgment on you about the chastisement of God in your life, and I don't think you're supposed to pass judgment on me in regard to God chastising my life. I think you got your hands full with you, and I've got my hands full with me. But let me tell you something. If God's ever taken you to the woodshed, you better remember going to the woodshed. You know, God wants you to learn from the chastisement. God doesn't want you to make it through the chastisement and then turn around and do the same stupid thing all over again. What's He deserve? God doesn't want you to waste that highway. God doesn't want you to go through the burden of a heartache or go through the pain or go through the trauma, get on the other end of the trauma and then mess up your life worse or go back to the same old thing. What's He want? God wants you to learn from it. Sometimes God spanks softly. Sometimes He spanks very hard. But if God had spanked you, if I were you, I'd remember the pain. And I would make sure that God got what He needed out of that. And I'd make sure that you got what you needed out of that. You young people, if mom and dad correct you, you ought to thank God that they correct you. You ought to thank God that they correct you. Because you will learn. You will learn from that correction and you'll become better because of it. Every parent alive that corrects their children properly, their whole purpose was that their child would do better because of the correction. And our Heavenly Father is a perfect daddy. And He comes and He corrects you and I as Christians. Why? Because He hopes that that correction will produce in our life something better. He wants us to go forward. He wants Him and He wants us to get something out of it. Every burden that you've ever faced, let me tell you, I do not believe for one second God brings a burden on a Christian's life and He says, I'm going to destroy you. I hate you. No, God loves you and He says, you may face a heartache. You may face a burden, but I want you to become better because of it. I want you to get more out of life because of it. I want you to be more successful and have more victory. Don't waste your burden. Look at your scars and don't go back. Look at the heartache and decide, I'm not going through that again. And think of what the pain and think of the burden and think of the heartache and think of the sweat and think of the toil. And then just don't go back there and become better because of it, not worse. Over and over again, I looked up every time in the Bible where it used the word waste, wasted. And it just kept virtually jumping off the page at me. They put all this energy it of making it through these hardships. And then it's not long you find out they wasted all the sacrifice. Everything they went through, it just wasted. Folks, what's happened in your life that should have made you better? Don't waste your heartaches. Don't waste your burdens. I believe that God intended for this highway to be useful. Don't you let your burdens make you unuseful. Let them make you useful. So, Christian, don't waste your burdens. Build upon them. If you're not saved here today, let me tell you something. The unsaved life is a hard one. I got to tell you, I'm born again and I go through hardship, but I go through it and I've got Jesus helping me through. People that are unsaved, I don't know how they do it. I don't. I do not know how they do it. How do they go through it without having Jesus? Listen, if you're lost and if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know for a fact you'd go to heaven, don't waste that. Get saved today. You say, well, how would I waste it? Reject Christ another day, die and go to hell? What a waste. What a waste. When heaven is so accessible by merely trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't waste the life that God's given you. If you're not saved, get saved. If you are saved, don't let your burdens drag you back and drag you down. Let your burdens push you forward and push you up. I promise you, that's God's intent. I call the sermon Wasted Highways. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question will be to those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I do not know I'm saved. I do not know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. I certainly don't want to waste my life. I need to get born again so I can go to heaven someday when I die. Pray for me, Pastor. I do not know that I'm born again. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. All right. How many here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I'm not lying to you. I'm not lying in church. I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who here would say, Pastor, God has reached into my heart today. I have been challenged. I don't want my burdens to drag me backwards. I plan to let my burdens push me forward. And God has spoken to my heart specifically about it today. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, hands everywhere. Everywhere. You may put your hands down. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. When she does, we're going to stand at our feet. If you need to be saved, you come. There'll be people coming that are getting saved. If you say, I just need a moment of prayer, you come down here and get on your knees. It might be somebody you need to come out and get on your knees and say, God, you spoke to my heart today. I'm moving forward. I'm not wasting the burdens. I'm not going to go through everything I've gone through and give up. I'm not quitting on you, God. I'm going forward. I'm not going backward. If you need this altar, I want you to feel free to come. I'm asking the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need to come to this altar, you come. You might need to get on your knees and say, God, I've faced some burdens. I've been through some stuff. I've been through a lot of stuff. But I'm not going to let it drag me down. I'm not going to let it drag me backwards. Some of you that God spared your life because of illness or tragedy or heartache or financial reversal or being forsaken, whatever it is, why don't you look that thing right square in the eye and say, I'm not wasting. I've been through a lot. I've faced a lot, but I'm not going to let that destroy me. Stay somewhere nearby in case we have issues with pronunciations on names and things. So you had a big financial setback. You made it through it. Learn from that. Grow from that.
and make sure you don't waste that burden. You know, some of the greatest training tools in the world are failures. Yeah, learn how not to do it. Someone told me one time, said, you know, Jeff, you're going to learn from your mistakes. And I said, I am going to be brilliant someday. I have made so many stupid mistakes. Mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. But if I can learn from those mistakes, I become better. I succeed more. Don't waste the burden. You can let that heartache get the best of you, or you can get the best of that heartache. Become better because of it. Become stronger because of it. Have more victory because of it. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need the altar still, the altar's open. You come and pray. Maybe you need to say, God, help me. Maybe you're under the gun right now. You're saying, I am facing it. You will get through it. But when you do, don't you let that thing make you worse. You let that thing make you better. Rachel, give me another verse of the song. I got somebody else coming, so as long as they're still responding, we'll keep the altar call going just a moment more. Song one more time. If we need, we could use that row right there if those ladies need a seat. Thank you, Rachel. You can have a seat there. I have a friend who sent me a picture the other day, and it was a picture of a military man. He was in full combat, array, and he had one leg blown off, and he had a fake leg on. It's all made out of the tungsten alloy or whatever it was. The caption said, I thank God for what I've been through because now I've got one leg that's bulletproof. And I thought, yeah, that's it. Everybody here, you're going to get wounded. You let that wound make you stronger, not weaker.